Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 30th of March 2015, the podcast that square roots the variance. This is your host, Shane Killian, and joining me again this week is Jonathan Loche. John, welcome back to the podcast.
Great to be back.
Let's standardly deviate the news of the bogus. A couple of years ago, I made a video called The Paradox of Interests, and I explained how it's unavoidable in a democracy that special interests are going to dominate legislation and regulation. It's actually pretty simple math. Let's say a special interest represents 1/10,000th of the population. They lobby the government to get subsidies. Just because they represent 1/10,000th of the population, that means for every 100,000 each individual in that interest group gets, an individual taxpayer only pays $10. So how incentivized are you to lobby your congressman to save that $10 compared to a member of that special interest group that has $100,000 on the line?
I can't do the math in my head, but I'm going to say not very much.
Not very much, yeah. $10 versus $100,000, yeah. Well, now we have an excellent analysis from the Sunlight Foundation that shows that for every dollar a corporation spends lobbying the government, they can expect $760 back.
Hot damn. That's a lot.
Yeah. You gotta love that rate of return. What would that be? 76,000% interest, basically. So they looked at 14 million corporate records, which included campaign contributions, lobbying expenditures, and federal budget allocations and spending. And they had previously shown that the rate of return on lobbying, they had estimated just these amazing rates, anywhere between 5,900% for oil subsidies to 22,000% for multinational tax breaks, and even higher for, I love how they say this, for America's legal drug dealers. Talking about Big Pharma, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a lot bigger now than they even thought. 2/3 of the $6.5 trillion that individuals paid into the federal treasury between 2007 and 2012 went to corporations. But during that period, they spent $5.8 billion lobbying and making campaign contributions.
As sad as it is, it almost isn't that surprising.
Yeah.
Because we've already known the government's bought and paid for. It's just putting numbers to show the sheer corruption that's involved. And this isn't a Democrat issue. This isn't a Republican issue. This is an issue of elected officials are bought and paid for, keep bringing home the bacon. It doesn't matter if it's Elizabeth Warren, Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Hillary Clinton. They know who's the real... keeping them in D.C.
Well, and this is what I have to give the foundation brickbats for, because they completely misdiagnose the problem. They say, quote, "It is a political issue. Worse, it is a democracy issue or lack thereof." No, this is a problem inherent to democracy, and there is no way to avoid it. And if you try by passing laws limiting lobbying funds or PACs or campaign contributions, all you do is inhibit the ability of the little guys to come together and pool their resources to magnify their voice so they can be heard over these corporations. We talked about that when Jim Babka was on the podcast talking about the Citizens United case, which they mention, and of course they think is like the worst thing ever. But it's just like Michael Cloud said, the problem is not the abuse of power, it's the power to abuse. And the only way to prevent this is to take away the ability of politicians to grant these favors to begin with.
Yeah. The other thing I wish is a little more digging through what their research methods were in terms of how are they coming up with these numbers, just because I want to know, like, how do they quantify stuff like multinational tax breaks and stuff like that.
That's true. The devil can be in the details here.
It's not telling us anything new. We've been saying this for years on this podcast, that the government is bought and paid for by special interests.
Right. But, I mean, at the very least, I think this shows that the minimum we need to do is force the government to obey the Constitution and live within its means.
Again, stuff we've been saying on this podcast for years.
Yeah. And stuff like Rand Paul and Ted Cruz are not going to do despite their rhetoric. Say, if you're tired of the promos in this podcast, well, the patrons got it early and with no ads or promos. Just go to patreon.bogosity.tv and donate at any level. History is written by the winners, and so apparently is economics. That's why there's libertyclassroom.com. Probably the best single learning resource for history and economics on the web, libertyclassroom.com teaches U.S. history, Western Civ, and economics from actual university professors. There's lots of free material to get you started, including introductory lectures on all these subjects, and when you sign up, you get the full site's content for just $99 a year, less than the price of 2 cups of coffee a month. And if you type in the promo code BOGOSITY in all caps, you'll get your first year for just $88. Lectures are available in both video and audio format, so you can watch or listen to them on your computer, your phone or tablet, or in your car. Learn at your own pace about the subjects you're interested in and become a more effective debater. You'll also get access to lots of supplemental materials and even the professors themselves via the discussion forum and even live video chats. Inform yourself against the myths and propaganda of our society. Visit libertyclassroom.com. Okay, so we've talked before about the NSA intercepting packages and inserting firmware into things like internet routers to make it easier to spy on people.
Mm-hmm.
Cisco responded to this in a way that almost got the silver clue on. Not quite. I didn't think it quite rose to the level, but it's still really good. What they did was they sent a letter to the president saying that we need some safeguards and limitations to protect these tech companies from the NSA intercepting their packages and put them in back doors. There has been no response to this whatsoever from the White House. So Cisco has now started shipping boxes to vacant addresses to try to foil the NSA.
You know, I don't know if I should laugh or cry. I really don't.
Yeah. So according to their security chief, John Stewart, quote, "We ship boxes to an address that has nothing to do with the customer, and then you have no idea who ultimately it is going to. When customers are truly worried, it causes other issues to make interception more difficult in that agencies don't quite know where that router is going, so it's very hard to target. You'd have to target all of them. There's always going to be inherent risk." And he also mentioned that a lot of customers aren't taking any chances. They're just going to go and pick up the hardware themselves instead of having it shipped. That's pretty sad when they resort to doing that. Like, whatever you do, don't ship it to us. We'll come pick it up.
This is like straight up out of 1984.
Yeah. We're living it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not clear what this is actually going to accomplish, which is why they didn't get the silver clue on. There is the possibility of upline manufacturers being intercepted, their parts being intercepted, and the backdoors put in before they get to Cisco. But at least Cisco is doing what they can to make sure it's not a problem on their end.
Well, it's so frustrating that the fact that they're having to do this out of sheer company policy at this point.
Yeah. Well, and there's always the possibility that the government's saying, what you're doing is illegal because you're trying to foil government's attempts to spy on you. And so far, the NSA or ODNI haven't responded to it, but it'll be interesting to see what happens. But really, this just seems to be more like a middle finger than anything else. Even if it doesn't work, it's a nice public statement. Hackers, terrorists, the NSA. But I repeat myself. Your online security is under attack, and the weakest point is your password. That's why you need LastPass. LastPass plugs into your browser and allows you to randomly generate strong, unique passwords anywhere on the web, all protected by one master password. LastPass sets up in minutes and gives you secure automatic logins throughout the web, synchronizing across all your browsers and all your computers, at home, at work, or on the road. It even securely stores sensitive form data, including credit card numbers. Backup sensitive documents, membership info, Wi-Fi logins, and more. And with LastPass Premium, you can get these benefits on other applications and even mobile devices, and also get priority customer support. Sign up at password.pagosity.tv for a free month of LastPass Premium. Log in securely everywhere using the last password you'll ever have to remember. Go to password.pagosity.tv and get LastPass now. Well, as if we need more evidence that government hates the homeless and police aren't to be trusted, policemen in Portland arrested a homeless woman for, get this, charging her cell phone.
Yeah.
And in case you think, wait a minute, they didn't really arrest one person for charging her cell phone, did they? You're correct. They arrested two people. And so according to the report, quote, theft was first reported by Portland Patrol Incorporated, whoever they are, and two Portland police officers followed up to issue the woman and her co-defendant, a homeless man who was also charging his cell phone at the Planter Box outlet, citations to appear in court for third-degree theft of services, a Class C misdemeanor. And it goes on to point out that according to the Electrical Research Institute, the amount of money it costs to charge the average mobile phone for a year is 25 cents.
There's actually a similar case where in my hometown, because if you remember back a couple years ago when the Occupy protests were real big.
Oh, yeah.
There was an Occupy protest right out front of City Hall. Well, they basically decried it as a bunch of homeless people. And one of the things they were yelling about was that people were charging their cell phones at some outlets that were right outside. So they shut down the outlets to say that they were quote unquote saving power.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to quote a movie here, but it's not about the money. It's about sending a message.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but it's just like when people say, oh, save electricity, you know, turn your phone off, don't charge as much, unplug your charger when it's not in use. Yeah, you're trying to bail out the Titanic with a thimble there. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
It doesn't make that much difference. How much did the taxpayers pay to pay these police officers to come do that? And by the way, it took four police officers to do this for some reason. And so they arrested them, they took them to court, they're doing all this. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this woman has never been convicted of a crime, but she missed her court because she lost her citation because she's homeless. So where's she going to put it? You know, she doesn't have a file cabinet or anything like that. But she knew that she missed the court date, so she decided to turn herself in and ended up being thrown in jail for something that could probably be expressed in many decimal places of a penny. You know?
Yeah, it's... Because as we continue to make being homeless a crime in America.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, it's really part of a larger movement by the government to essentially make anything you do illegal. And then when they want to be able to pull the trigger. And unfortunately, because the homeless are usually the lowest of the low, they're the easiest to fuck over.
Yeah, well, and it's also, they have an incentive to get the homeless out of view because every homeless person is a testament to the failure of their economic policies.
Yeah.
And when they go through and say, hey, we created jobs and we improved the economy and we did all this, well, what's all these homeless people doing?
Or even then, usually the people that are crying about the homeless the loudest tend to be people that are the most politically active.
Well, you know, that's how it goes. It's just like, you know, Ted Haggard, you know, all that time going on against homosexuals. Homosexuality is bad. Homosexuality is bad. And what was he doing in the background? Hmm? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So when they start being a little too vociferous about it, you know, that probably means they're covering for something.
Yeah.
So in before, isolated incident, not an isolated incident, according to public defender Jane Fox, quote, it doesn't happen very often, but when it does, it's just insane. The case that I had was somebody charging their phone by the Greyhound bus station. Don't you have a reasonable expectation that an outlet near the bus station would be okay?
I guess not.
But yet, they're the ones stealing from taxpayers and not the ones paying the police and the courts to do this.
Right.
Gotta save those fractions of a penny. But I mean, it's just part of this overall trend we've been seeing. We've covered this over and over and over again. Lots of cities... The authorities are doing whatever they can to get the homeless out of the public eye. That's segregation, folks. We may as well start herding them into concentration camps. Which may be what those shelters are, now that I think about it. You say you don't like Bitcoin? Why not? Oh, because it's not gold. No problem. Just go to coins.bogosity.tv and you'll be taken to Coinable, where you can buy gold or silver coins or bars with your bitcoins, with literally up-to-the-minute spot pricing. Now there's no reason not to jump on the Bitcoin bandwagon. Whether you're a Bitcoin miner, service operator, Bitcoin business owner, or market speculator, you can get gold and silver from reputable dealers, and Coinable has Bitcoin liquidity for fast processing of your order. Coinable even utilizes a special shipping infrastructure to ensure that your investment arrives safely at your door. And you know what? By going to coins.bogosity.tv, you won't pay a penny more, excuse me, a Satoshi more for your purchase. But you'll help this podcast. You can even sell your gold and silver for Bitcoin as well. Coinable is your Bitcoin to gold marketplace. So go to coins.bogosity.tv and start turning your Bitcoins into gold now. And now let's play another game of Onion Not Onion. I'll read out a headline, and John, you tell me if it's from The Onion or not.
Okay.
Biden worries legalized weed in D.C. will cut into his business.
Onion.
Onion. Had to think about that one. A little bit iffy. Could have been true, but nope, it was Onion. God shoots himself while cleaning gun.
There is no God, so Onion.
That's got to be Onion. All right. Feminists decry clapping, request jazz hands to avoid anxiety triggers.
Not the Onion.
Not the Onion. Sounds like it could be. A lot of people were checking this going, wait a minute, is this real? Yes, it's real. Feminists have demanded that the NUS Women's Campaign Conference in the UK discourage clapping because it may be triggering to the delegates. They want them to use jazz hands instead, and that's where you kind of put your hands up and waggle them back and forth, and that's the appropriate way to applaud a deaf person. But they want them to do that because jazz hands can be triggering.
God. Just when I think it couldn't get any more retarded.
So, on Twitter from the NUS Women's Campaign, quote, "Some delegates are requesting that we move to jazz hands rather than clapping, as it's triggering anxiety. Please be mindful." And then another one from the OUSU Women's Campaign, quote, "Please can we ask people to stop clapping but do feminist jazz hands? It's triggering some people's anxiety. Thank you."
I can't even really fathom this.
It gets worse. Whooping is also a no-no. I promise you this is not the Onion. Again, from the NUS Women's Campaign, quote, "Whooping is fun for some, but can be super inaccessible to others, so please try not to whoop. Jazz hands work just as well."
It just, at some point, do you look at yourself in the mirror and think, you know, maybe we've taken this a little too far.
Yeah. You gotta wonder if there were people back there who are just doing this just to try and see if they can mess with us. Just to see how far they can go and still keep people on their side.
Yeah.
You have to wonder. Of course, not everyone on Twitter was so amused. You have T. Beckett Adams, who said, quote, "Conquering the world is going to be so, so much easier than I originally anticipated." You have Angela at Bear to the Right. "I'm all for equality. This is not equality. This is delusional." Mary at Slush Stuff just said, "Ah, ha, 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 ha." Really long tweet with all that. And Claire Woodward said, quote, "As a feminist, I'd like to say two words. Woman up." I would have given her extra points if she had said man up, but hey. And as Christine Roussel wrote on townhall.com, quote, "As a woman, feminist, and someone who has struggled mightily with anxiety, I think the feminist jazz hands request is more troubling than anything else. A person who is that disturbed by clapping should seek therapy and medication first and foremost. They desperately need some sort of mental health care. The world isn't a safe, quiet bubble full of Play-Doh and craftivism projects. The real world is sometimes scary. It's crowded. It's loud. Sometimes people clap in public. A person, especially an aspiring activist for any cause, not just feminism, should learn how to effectively manage and deal with their anxiety triggers rather than make everyone else comply with their demands. The real world isn't as accommodating as a feminist conference.
What do you know? Someone actually taking some personal responsibility.
I know, it'd be nice to see more of it. Because you know, when I was growing up, I remember feminists saying how strong they were and they could do anything men could do if people just got out of their way. These days, it seems like feminists act like women are these helpless, delicate little flowers who are so weak we all need to accommodate them. And that's exactly the attitude that the feminists spoke out against when I was growing up. So, what happened?
It's easier just to get on the government dole.
I guess. Bogosity.tv and all of its services are hosted at GoDaddy. I've been very satisfied with GoDaddy's services and their wonderful 24/7 customer support for over 10 years now. So I'm happy to be able to give you this special offer. Just sign up for any new domain, web hosting, email, or other service and get 35% off with the code WOWNOBOGON. That's WOWNOBOGON. Because there's nothing bogus about these savings on quality internet hosting. Just go to GoDaddy.com and use the code WOWNOBOGON. And now let's record for posterity this week's Biggest Bogon Emitter. And this week it goes to Texas House member Jason Villalba, who introduced HB 2918, which, if passed, would make it illegal to video the police while they're on duty.
Yeah.
Now, we've covered several cases where people are arrested for videotaping the police, and we said, you know, that's not against the law anywhere. Well, apparently they're trying to make it that way.
Yeah, and reading the article about this, it appears this guy isn't exactly the sharpest tool in the shed based on some of the other things he's suggested. It's just the slideshow that comes up at the top of the article shows some of the other things this guy's introduced before. I don't understand if police officers are supposed to be public servants, isn't the whole thing about, you know, to make it more transparent, to make it easier for citizens to see where their taxpayer money is going?
No, of course not. Where'd you get that idea?
Yeah.
They want to be able to spy on you. They don't want you to see what they're up to.
Yeah. So we've put police officers on such a pedestal at this point that just because they're cops doesn't mean they're magical beings capable of anything and everything.
Yeah. So this bill would make it illegal for private citizens to photograph or record the police within 25 feet of them. That would be a Class B misdemeanor. And if you are armed, that goes back to 100 feet. I don't know what being armed has to do about recording the police. But what they said is, only a radio or television station that holds a license by the FCC, or a newspaper that's qualified under the law, or a magazine released at regular intervals will be allowed to record the police. Because they're the press, don't you know?
Mm-hmm. They're the only ones who have First Amendment rights.
Right. That's something else we talked about when Jim Babka was on the show. It's like, what we're doing right here, right now, is the press. You know, like in the olden days, in the 60s or 70s, if you got a mimeograph machine and you printed out a bunch of stuff and handed it around, you were a press.
Well, not to mention, by this definition, if you're a blog that gets 1 million hits a month, you're not the press, because you don't have a license from the FCC.
I guess Krebs on Security isn't the press, you know. So Villalba said, quote, "My bill just asks filmers to stand back a little so as not to interfere with law enforcement."
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm thinking? Zoom lens.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get those little zoom lenses you can put on your phone.
Again, it's simply this attitude that cops are above being filmed. I don't get it.
Yeah, and an appeals court has already ruled unanimously that no, private citizens can video police, so this is going directly against the precedent, which probably means it won't withstand the first court case against it, or at least we can hope.
Right.
So all that makes Jason Villalba this week's Biggest Bogon Emitter. Bogosity.tv is a participant in the Amazon Services LLC Associates Program, an affiliate advertising program designed to provide the means for sites to earn advertising fees by advertising and linking to Amazon.com. Just clear your cookies and go to Amazon.bogosity.tv, or check the right-hand side of the podcast page for Amazon's best deals, including the deal of the day and limited-time lightning deals on all sorts of great products. So next time you buy online, go to Amazon.bogosity.tv. And now it's time to bang the gavel on the head of this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
And this week, it goes to Irvine, Texas Mayor Beth Van Doyen, as well as this anonymous story writer in the Political Insider. What the mayor did was, according to this story, quote, put the end to America's first Sharia court. Mayor Beth Van Doyen has accused mosque leaders of creating separate laws for Muslims, which is why the city voted to stop these supposedly voluntary tribunals from operating. Now, all this really is just something like voluntary arbitration. You know, if two people in this Muslim community who are members of the mosque or whatever, if they have a disagreement of some kind, they can just go to this court that's run by the mosque and just voluntarily have it done. If they both don't agree with that, they can still go to the regular courts to have it hashed out. But all it is just a voluntary court, you know, kind of like the DROs people like Stefan Molyneux keep talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But it's done by brown people with rags on their heads, so it must be bad, I guess.
Right.
Quote, in a very close 5-4 vote, the city of Irving ruled to back the Texas state bill banning foreign law from the state. It's not foreign law. It's just, the bill doesn't mention Sharia or any religion, but it's a huge defeat for Sharia supporters, as such courts are in violation of the U.S. Constitution. Where? Show me the clause in the Constitution saying that you can't engage in voluntary arbitration.
So, would that make kosher food illegal?
Yeah.
I mean, that's technically foreign law.
It's not a court, but yeah, there are these rules from, again, more brown people in funny hats, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That just goes to show you religion is a bad thing. They're all about brown people with funny hats.
There you go.
Or if it's Christianity, a damn hippie.
Yep. But he didn't wear a hat.
Right.
So that's good. He didn't wear a funny hat. The Pope might, but Jesus didn't, so it's fine. All right, so this anonymous writer quotes Mad World News, quote, all four of the voluntary, and voluntary is always put in scare quotes here, of course, court's lawyers were unlicensed in the state of Texas, a third-degree felony. And also, they failed to notify the city of their illegal court being operated in city limits.
That's everything. In this day and age, you have to have a license. I'm surprised I don't have to get a license to use the bathroom at this point.
So they go on, quote, by their own website's admission, if U.S. law conflicts with Sharia law, we follow Sharia law. Yeah, but it's not like they have police or anything who will come with guns and enforce it. It's just what the people agree to, and they want to agree to it based on the tenets of their religion. And we're supposed to have freedom of religion under the First Amendment, aren't we? And they also complain about, quote, separate rules for men and women, their proceedings, discriminating and humiliating women, which is against the U.S. Constitution. Okay, now wait a minute. I completely disagree with the Muslim attitudes towards women. I think that's horrific and reprehensible. But how is it against the U.S. Constitution? Again, show me the clause.
Yeah.
Again, they don't have any kind of enforcement arm here or anything. It's not like they're taking women out and stoning them or anything like that. Now, there are already laws against that. There are laws against murder and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, that certainly, stoning women, I think, would certainly qualify under cruel and unusual punishment.
So the article quotes the mayor, quote, this bill does not reference Sharia, Islam, or even religion. It has nothing to do with preventing any tribunal. Why anyone would feel this is hatred or bigotry is absolutely beyond me.
Yeah.
Even though it was done specifically to shut them down.
You can't help but appreciate the irony of that statement.
So the anonymous article writer. I mean, I have to keep stressing that. It's like, yeah, way to stand by your words there, anonymous. But the article writer says, quote, "Good for Mayor Van Doyen. The legal system from the Islamic faith is incompatible with civilized Western cultures." Yeah, nothing at all racist there.
Mm-hmm.
And a voluntary court dealing with personal disagreements with no enforcement arm is so much worse than our civilized rule of law here in the U.S., and especially Texas, which executes more people than all the other states combined, and where you can get thrown in jail for having a plant, walking across an imaginary line without permission, and apparently before too long, videoing the police.
Hey, what's wrong about Texas?
Oh, if you want to know what's wrong, it's because of people like Beth Van Doyen. And if you want to know why political discourse in this country is so horrible, it's because of media like the Political Insider and this anonymous writer. And so that's how they got to be named this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire.
Well, that wraps up this Isn't It Cute the Way They're Making a Stab at a Plot edition of the Bogosity Podcast. As always, you can come to forum.bogosity.tv to read the show notes and join the discussion. This podcast depends on you to keep going, so please donate using the links on the website or at patreon.bogosity.tv, and feel free to join in by sending a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@bogosity.tv. You can even stick it in an audio file if you want. Thank you for listening, and thanks again to Jonathan Loche for joining me.
Thanks again.
Until next time, here's a quote from Frédéric Bastiat. "When plunder becomes a way of life for a group of men living together in society, they create for themselves, in the course of time, a legal system that authorizes it and a moral code that glorifies it." The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License.
Bogosity.
Do you want answers to creationist claims against evolution? Would you like to know more about evolution yourself, or even engage creationists more directly, with actual peer-reviewed sources to back you up? My book, How Evolution is Scientific, is designed to show the basics of evolutionary theory and how it is so well supported using the scientific method. It's impeccably sourced, with references to the actual scientific material, and is arranged using the creationists' own criteria of what is scientific. Using their own arguments against them, see how evolution is scientific, but creationism is not, based on observations, accurate predictions, logic, and evidence. Get answers to common creationist claims, and even a primer on abiogenesis, the start of all life. It's all in my book, How Evolution is Scientific, available at Amazon and on Kindle, EPUB, and PDF as well. Get How Evolution is Scientific and never be taken in by creationists again.